Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off podcast. I am your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he's the Anakin Skywalker to my Darth Vader. He's the Capitals insider, Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik?
I would much rather be Skywalker. What are we talking about?
Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader. You're thinking of Luke. Anakin Skywalker is the whiny little brat who turned into super cool, somehow turned into super cool Darth Vader.
Darth Vader's not cool. He's got a bad temper. His face is all burnt up.
Oh, okay.
He breathes funny. He's got to have a mask on to breathe. I don't want to be Darth Vader. I would have been Han Solo.
What we will talk about today, we will talk about the return of Matt Niskanen to the lineup. We'll talk about what the Caps roster will look like if they ever get healthy. And we will open up the mailbag. But first, Tarik, how was your trip to Nashville?
It's a great town. It's an underrated town, but it's a great town. I'm not a country music fan, and pretty much everything there has to do with country music.
Right.
But I can get into it for like 24 hours or so. It was great. Landed around 6 o'clock, met up with the NBC Sports Washington crew, had a great dinner, hit Broadway around 7 or 8 o'clock. It was the night before Joe B's birthday, so we celebrated. Had a great time, man. The weather was awesome. Live music coming out of every single establishment has like live music coming out.
Right.
Out of it. You found one place that was playing 90s covers of 90 rock music. That was great.
I've been to that place.
Yeah, went to another where a dude was playing rock versions of Michael Jackson tunes, which was pretty awesome. I don't think Locker really liked that as much as I did, but it was cool. Had a really good time.
Yeah.
And it's a great barn. It's a great place to watch a game.
Yeah.
It's smaller than most buildings, so it's pretty intimate. It's really loud. The fans are into it. I mean, I've been there in times when Nashville wasn't great and it wasn't filled and it wasn't the best. But when they're good and, you know, coming off a Stanley Cup appearance last year, I mean, there wasn't a seat to be had, and they were loud. You know, sorry to kind of sidetrack here, but the coolest part was during intros. Not only was PK Subban wearing a cowboy hat, which was hilarious. It was for, you know,
It
was for charity.
Yeah.
Proceeds went to Hockey Fights Cancer, I believe. But that was cool. And the other part was during intros, they introduce Alex Ovechkin starting for the Washington Capitals. Everyone goes, sucks, you know, like they do with most buildings.
Right.
But then when they got to, and the head coach, Barry Trotz, people applauded for like a full 60 seconds. I mean, he's been gone now how many years? You know, five?
This is his fourth season.
Fourth season, yeah. So the fact that he still is revered that much in that town for what he did for that franchise,
right.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. Very cool. I got to go to Nashville last year for a Capitals game. Awesome city. The stadium is in a prime location right off of Broadway. Yeah. That is an awesome place to go.
There are literally bars every which way you turn when you walk out of any door at that building.
Right. So that's pretty awesome. Tarik, as you said, it is an underrated city. And I've been providing these free, seamless transitions for about a year now. Almost a year.
Sorry, I'm not even listening to you. I'm reading.
Per usual.
I'm reading the Wikipedia page on Darth Vader to make sure that you're not making up this Anakin Skywalker thing.
Yeah.
But do you realize Darth Vader is supposed to be 6'8"? You did not know
that. He's a big boy.
That's like a power forward.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's a big guy. Thank you for sidetracking the podcast,
Carry on.
As always. Anyway, Tarek, the injury bug hit the Caps early as one of the team's most important players, Matt Niskanen, was placed on long-term injured reserve. On Tuesday, he made his return back to the lineup against the Nashville Predators. Here's what he had to say of his first performance back.
Things were moving fast for me in the first period. I think it took me at least three or four shifts, five on five, to kind of get my feel back. And took a penalty, you know, as I got walked one-on-one, caught with a bad gap. You know, just things like that where timing and feel for the game is a little off. So I thought after the first I got much better, and legs felt good. My injury felt good. So it's good to be back out there, even if it was in a pretty bad effort by everybody.
Obviously, Niskanen is going to get back to form the more he plays. But let's talk about what he means to the Caps, because in my mind, he's the best all-around defenseman on the team. Tarek, just how important is Matt Niskanen?
He's huge when he's on top of his game. I'll be honest, I didn't like the start of his season. I didn't think he was quite as sharp as he was at the end of last season, those first few games before he got injured. I thought he was pretty good in Nashville. He had the one mistake early where I believe it was Kevin Fiala kind of walked him a little bit.
Yeah,
kind of turned around, forced him to take a hook. But you know, that's to be expected. I mean, game speed, you can't replicate that in practice. That happens. He ended up playing probably a little bit more than he would have liked because of the injury to Christian Juice.
Mm-hmm.
But look, when he's on his game, he's the best, as you said, the best blue liner they have in terms of what he brings to the table across the board. He can jump up in the play and create some offense when needed. He's reliable in his own end. He's a good leader. You know, he leads by example. Can speak up when necessary. So he's got the intangibles as well. You just hope now that, like I said, didn't have a great start to the season, then was injured for 13 games. You hope that now he can come back and get back to being the Matt Niskanen that we saw the last few years here in Washington.
Yeah, that's a good point. He was not playing well before the injury. He had a few blatant turnovers in his own zone. The normally defensively responsible Matt Niskanen, who never does that sort of thing, all of a sudden creating some turnovers. So, you know, the injury was not good, but maybe it gives him a chance to refocus and reset a little bit once he settles back into the lineup. One other benefit of getting Matt Niskanen back is, of course, now you have the Dmitry Orlov-Matt Niskanen pairing, or at least the option to use that pairing, which is probably the Caps' best shutdown pairing that they have on defense. Brooks Orpik and John Carlson seem to shoulder most of the load in Niskanen's absence. We both expect Orpik to see fewer minutes now that he's back, which will be good for the 37-year-old's legs. But what about Carlson? The more minutes the Caps give him, the better he has performed, and in my mind, he is now playing the best hockey of his career. Do you try to cut his minutes, or has he shown that he's someone who needs those kinds of minutes to find his groove?
Hey, he was pretty good in 15-16 as well. I think it might be a little bit of a stretch to say it's the best of his career. It's certainly the best we've seen from him in a little while. Playing a lot of minutes is great, and I think that being in a groove and, you know, knowing he's going to be out there almost every other shift in all sorts of situations has helped him. I think in the long run, however, it's going to start to wear him down.
Mm-hmm.
So I applaud him for what he's been able to do. You know, you saw my insider's take. I said, you know, he was the hero when the Caps needed one.
Right.
He's been arguably their best player, save for Braden Holtby and maybe Nicholas Backstrom at times. He's really helped them out when they were desperately in need of some help. I think that big picture, you got to lop 4 minutes off his time. Maybe you play him a little bit more than he was playing last year because he has shown that he's able to handle those big minutes. But I think what we've seen here over the past few weeks, you know, there have been some rough performances here and there by the team, but for the most part, this is a playoff team. You know, this is a team that is going to get in the playoffs and quite possibly could go on a run. Even though they're not what they were the last 2 years, they're not the traveling all stars. They're just a good hockey team right now.
Yeah.
I think that you got to kind of look at the big picture and you got to be wary of putting too much on John and, you know, let Matt Niskanen, you know, get back to where he was before. You're going to need him too. So, I think Brooks Orpik is the guy who's going to see a reduction in minutes.
Definitely.
And, you know, again, you know, like John, I think Brooks Orpik was playing some of the best hockey we've seen here in Washington, as his minutes were increased there with Niskanen out. So I think big picture, you bring John back down to the 21, 22 minute, mm-hmm. you know, 23 tops minute plateau, and get back to the way things were run last year. I mean, the silver lining to Niskanen being out, in my opinion, was the fact that rookies Christian Juice and Madison Bowie got to play and play a lot. And I think we're now pretty sure that Madison Bowie is going to be a pretty good hockey player in this league, and we think Christian Juice is going to be a pretty good hockey player in this league too.
Yep.
You know, he's going to miss a game with an upper body injury, but you hope that doesn't set him back. Hope he doesn't miss too much time, but you never really know with these types of injuries.
Yeah, I agree. As good as John Carlson has looked, the ideal scenario is that his minutes go down. That wears you out, and I know they put a good face on it, and I know there are players like a Ryan Suter who plays that much time, but you know what? Minnesota's a team that fades down the stretch pretty much every year. So ideally, you want these guys playing around the 20-minute mark, not just going all out, especially this early in the season.
I would say John could play up to 23 minutes a night.
Yeah,
I say you lop off four. You don't want him playing what he was at the other night, which was 27-20, which is most in the league.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so you get him down to 22 to 23. That's about right for him. You know, he'll be able to have some juice left in the third period. He'll have some legs left to jump up in the play in the third period if they got to press for a goal. I think physically he was fine, but it was funny when I asked him about it the other day in Nashville. He actually kind of had his first response was, yeah, I'm looking forward to reduced minutes. And he was like, wait a minute, that didn't sound right.
Yeah,
I'll do whatever the coach is asking me to do. But you can tell, like any player, playing a lot is, it puts a physical and a mental strain on you. And mm-hmm. I'm sure he's as happy as anyone else to see number two back in there because now he can, take a breath a little bit.
Tark, you touched on the rookie defenseman. We are going to talk about them. We're going to talk about Jacob Vrana, and we're going to take a look at the lineup as a whole if this team ever gets healthy, right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back to the Capitals Faceoff Podcast. Through training camp, the one thing everyone wanted to know is who would make the team. The Caps dealt with some injuries, but as they get healthy, they will again have to make tough decisions on who stays on the roster and who goes. Tark, if and when the Caps get back to full strength, it seems to me like the roster is going to look different than it did at the start of the season. So let's try to piece together what the Caps will do with some of the bubble players. The first thing we should talk about, because I think it pretty much affects everything that they will do, is the defense. At the start of the season, Madison Bowie was in Hershey. Christian Juice was a healthy scratch. In my opinion, those are two guys who need to stay in Washington. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. They've got to find a way for those two players to remain here in D.C. I can tell you right now that the coaching staff is very pleased with both. The coaching staff also doesn't mind Aaron Ness as much as maybe some fans out there do. And Taylor Chorney has shown by his relatively solid play. Yeah, he's seen sheltered minutes, but his relatively steady play, and that he deserves to be here too. It's going to be a tough decision because I think right now they're okay. When Burakovsky's contract comes back on the books, they're going to have to make some hard decisions.
Yes.
And I think the easy decision, none of them are going to be easy, but I think you'll have to carry 13 forwards. You won't be in a position to carry 14
yes,
anymore.
That's exactly
so
right.
Someone's going to go up front, and I would say probably someone on the back end too. I would have to say, based on what we saw in Nashville, when Niskanen came back, that is their sixth best defenseman. Now, I know Juice got injured in that game, mm-hmm. but you could tell, I shouldn't say you can tell, but with Niskanen back, in his first game back, the six guys who were in the lineup that night, logic tells you that's what the Capitals consider to be their best six players. You're going on the road to face the Stanley Cup finalists in their building. You're going to put your best six defensemen on the ice. So that means that it would come down to 55 or four would be the two that they'd have to decide between if they're going to keep 7D, which I think they'll have to get down to. Everyone has their own opinions. I think certain people trust Chorney more. Some people think that Ness gets more done. It's going to be a hard decision.
Right.
In terms of up front, Verana needs to get back in the lineup somehow and start producing. Or, you know, remember, he's on a two-way contract. Nathan Walker, that'd be a hard – you know, the reason Nathan Walker has been here for so long is because they're afraid of losing him on waivers.
Right.
Tyler Graevac has already been assigned to Hershey on a conditioning stint. Maybe they put him through waivers and keep him there.
Yeah.
DSP, Devontae Smith-Pelly, is the other player on a two-way. He's going to be here full-time throughout the year. Mm. He's established that with how he's played the first 19 games.
Right.
I mean, he's on the second line or first line, if you call it that. So, I mean, two guys are going to probably have to go.
Yeah. That's exactly right. The reason why the defense will determine everything is because in the beginning, they had Aaron Ness, who has the lowest cap hit on the team that allowed you to have two extra forwards. They're not going to be able to do that anymore. So we're looking at a 22-man roster rather than a 23-man roster, which they started the season with. Here's my list of bubble players. Alex Chiasson, Nathan Walker, Tyler Graevac, and now I guess you have to put Jacob Vrana on that list, who is someone we will talk about once we get to the mailbag. I do not believe that Chandler Stephenson or Devontae Smith-Pelly are bubble players at this point. Are we on the same page there?
I would say Smith-Pelly is going to be here the remainder of the year. I would say Stephenson will be here as long as he continues to play the way he's playing.
But he has to pass through waivers.
Yeah, but he also now needs – remember, he's also passed through waivers like 50 times. So
that's true.
It's not like the whole league is like waiting for him to hit waivers again.
That's true. But he has looked impressive since he's come up.
There's 30 other guys who have played the way he's played who are going to hit waivers. How many guys get claimed on waivers on a daily? It doesn't happen very often. I think the Caps are more paranoid than maybe some clubs about losing guys on waivers.
That's fair, but Antti Niemi has been claimed twice on waivers.
He's a goaltender, though.
Anyone can be claimed on waivers.
That's different than a left wing that can play some center. Not to knock Chandler. I think Chandler's played outstanding, but I don't think that waivers is playing as big a factor as some people would make it out to be. I mean, you don't want to lose a player. You never want to lose an asset for nothing.
Right.
But every team has tweeners that have to go up and down. Look, if Chandler continues to produce and play the way he's playing right now, this is, you know, Tyler Graevac's Wally Pitt moment.
Yes.
And also it's the moment that Chandler Stephenson at 23, 24 years old became a full-time NHL player.
Right. Here, let me put it to you this way then. Who is more likely today, as of right now, to be claimed off of waivers? Nathan Walker or Chandler Stephenson?
C, none of the above. I don't think either one would get claimed, but I would say Chandler would be more likely to get claimed. Yeah.
Right. And that, I think, will keep him here longer because I think he's playing well enough that
he's done it for a month, man. Calm down.
He's done it, but he's playing well enough that I think a team would take a flyer on him who wouldn't have necessarily done it at the beginning of the season when he passed through waivers.
There is more chance now than before the start of the season. Yes.
Right.
I will agree with you on that.
Now we should move on to an interesting player, someone who doesn't have to clear waivers, whose name is very suddenly on this list, and that is Jacob Vrana. I asked for questions for the mailbag, and every tweet and every email I got was about Vrana, who is a healthy scratch for the Colorado game. So I just picked one email from the group to sort of highlight what the conversation is. This one is from Kyle. He writes, What is it that Trotz seems to dislike about talented young players who are a liability on defense? It seems to me Vrana is the type of talent that is needed greatly in today's NHL, but Trotz still wants to praise guys like Brooks Orpik, who, with all due respect, is a dying breed of hockey player that cannot win you cups anymore. All right, first off, let me ask you this, Kyle. Who has had a bigger impact on this team the last 10 games, Orpik or Vrana? That's a no-brainer. Orpik has had a much bigger impact. Is the ceiling higher on Jacob Vrana right now? Absolutely. What's the point he has to produce?
The problem with Vrana is when you get those kind of minutes and you play on the second unit power play and you have one goal in your last seven games and it came into an empty net,
yes.
That's a problem. And especially when you don't have years of production behind you. Like when Nicholas Backstrom goes through a stretch like that, Okay, he's Nick Backstrom.
Yes.
When Alex Ovechkin has a stretch like that, we know this guy is a 500-plus goal scorer in this league. When you're trying to make a name for yourself and secure a full-time job in this league and you have a stretch like that where – and it's not just – and I don't want to be hard on Verona because this is a hard league. And look, a lot of good players get scratched in their first full-time season in the NHL. It happened to Andrei Burakovsky. It happened to it happens to guys. Good players get scratched in that first year when they're jumping from a tweener to a full timer, and the problem is, and I've covered every game this season and last season. There have been times in this last 2 to 3 week stretch where you forgot that 13 was in the game.
Yeah,
like you just literally forgot he was in the game. Like he just was not affecting the play. He was, as Bruce Boudreau would say, a passenger.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a passenger when you're Jacob Verana. This team needs scoring from everyone. It needs contributions from everyone. This isn't like last year's team where two guys could not have a great game, but Justin Williams would jump up and have a great game. Or everyone has to be contributing. And when you don't have the equity that a long-term veteran has, you're going to get your card pulled, and that's what happened to him.
Yeah.
And sometimes with a young player, you got to take it away from him. And they didn't send him down. They just put him out of the lineup. The next step is if he goes back in and has another 7 or 8 games like this, now it's like, okay, well, what are we going to do here? Crap.
Yeah.
They aren't at that stage yet.
I don't think
they're going to get to that stage, but you just need more from look, like I said, I've covered every game. You could see this coming. In Buffalo, Verana got not benched, but he got skipped over a few times as Trotz kind of started shuffling.
After that goal, yeah.
After he got toe-dragged by Benoit Pouliot, of all people. I mean, when you get toe-dragged by him, look, he's not a defenseman, but look, they didn't like what they saw. They didn't like the optics. He didn't play very much the rest of that period. You could kind of see the direction this was all going. They didn't like the way he's been playing defensively, or just in terms of overall play. I mean, you got to produce. You, when you are given second or third line minutes and you are on the power play, yes, it's the second unit, and they get kind of the garbage minutes. It's not a great opportunity. You still have to do more than one empty net goal. And you know what? He started out great, and that probably hurt him. That probably hurt him a little bit. He had 2 goals and 3 assists in his first 6 games.
Yes.
So when Barry Trotz, I have no idea what he said to him in this meeting. But I know if I were the coach and I had Jacob Verana sitting in front of me, I would go, you know what your mistake? You know what your mistake was here, Jake? I've seen you do it. I saw those first 6 games. That was your big mistake. I know you can produce in this league. So you come out of the gates and you get 2 goals and 3 assists in 6 games, and then you go MIA for a couple, for a month. I know something's up.
To be fair, he started off the season with Kuznetsov and Ovechkin. I'm not sure I ever would have broken that lineup because they played very well together. They had chemistry there. But you know what? When you move down to the third line, you're still expected to produce. Being on the third line is not an excuse. Brett Connolly was on the third line last year, and he built a niche for himself by producing.
He earned himself $3 million.
He earned himself a contract with the team because he was still producing on the third line. Jacob Verana has to produce. And the Orpik bashing, look, I get it. He's old. He's old, he's slow, he's not today's NHL player.
He's played very well.
Where would this team be right now? Let's say...
Like 27th
everyone,
place.
If everyone got what they wanted over the summer and they bought out Brooks Orpik, where would this team be right now?
Not just how well he has played, it's the stuff that people don't see.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who walks literally 2 steps behind Brooks Orpik at the practice facility, at the game arena, getting on the bus, getting on the plane?
Madison Bowie.
And you know who is just taking notes in his head of what it's like of how to become a 15-year pro who plays 900 games in the league? Madison Bowie.
Right.
You know who's going to become a pro like Brooks Orpik because of Brooks Orpik? Madison Bowie.
Right.
So that's the stuff that people don't see. You don't just come in this league and just become a star or become a good player. You got to have mentors. You got to have those 35, 36, 37-year-old guys to show the 21-year-olds who might think they're hot stuff how you actually have to prepare your body, how you have to prepare your mind, how you have to eat, how you have to sleep, how you have to do everything. Your tie's got to be straight when you get on the plane so the general manager doesn't get on your case. Like what you have to do to be in this league for that long.
Right.
And if you don't think that Christian Juice and Madison Bowie are looking up to old man Orpik and going, that's how you do it,
yep,
you're crazy.
Yeah, I don't think the Vrana-Orpik comparison is valid at all. Those are two very different players in very different situations. And I don't think Vrana is ultimately going to get sent down in the AHL. He's got too much talent. They just want him. This is like what we saw from Burakovsky just last year. All right, you're on a slump. We're going to let you sit down for a little bit, and then you can come back.
This reminds me of the Judge Judy meme where she's, you know, banging on the table and pointing at her watch. It says, it's wake up, kid. All right, we saw you do it.
Yeah.
I know you had some better line mates. We've seen you do it.
Yep.
Now, go get some stats for us.
Yeah.
You
ultimately have to earn second line minutes, and Ron is not there yet. I think he'll get there. I don't think he's in danger of going to Hershey despite his waiver status, but I have no problem with him being sat down because he's not producing, and that's what he's here to do, is produce. If you want to have your question read and answered on the next podcast, you can send it to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter. Help spread the word about the show. Last week, I was very happy because our ratings went up to 23. This week, our ratings are still at 23. So come on, people, get out there, rate our podcast, subscribe if you like it. It really, really does matter. And also, be sure to listen to the Capitals Extra Podcast the morning after every game. You can subscribe for that one on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. It is a great breakdown of the game the night before. It's hosted by Rob Carlin. Alan May is usually on there. Tarek is on there on occasion. It is a great, if you're looking for a straight breakdown of the Capitals game, you can't go wrong with the Capitals Extra Podcast.
When's Thanksgiving? Thursday?
Thursday, Tarek. Just like it is every year.
You want
literally some, every year.
You want some scoop?
Okay.
I was born on Thanksgiving.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Well, do you want some scoop? My birthday this year is on Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Well, I was actually born on Thanksgiving. I think it happened. It's happened maybe five times in my life. Maybe four or five.
Really?
Yeah.
You're way older than
November 28th.
Because it feels like my
November 28th.
Because it feels like my birthday is on Thanksgiving every other year.
It definitely has not been that much. Maybe five times. I could probably go back and look,
maybe five. Maybe
yeah.
five.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for me, it's been like five times.
Yeah, yeah.
Including the actual year I was born.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, my mom was actually basting the turkey. I've heard the story. Every Thanksgiving, my mom goes, "Who wants to hear the story of Tarek's birth?" And everyone goes, "No one. No one." Just serve the food.
That'll be fun. We will definitely get you a podcast episode before the joyous holiday of Thanksgiving, so you can all tell your friends that what you're thankful for this year is the Capitals Faceoff Podcast. For Tarek El-Bashir, this is JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.